Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey everybody, Shane here. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Swing by and visit them Tuesday through Saturday. Come by for a glass of whiskey, wine, or cold beer, and stop in and see a show. Thursday, August 23rd, Stephen Chozich. Friday, August 24th, Three of a Perfect Pair. And Saturday, August 25th, Shaky Deal, a tribute to Neil Young, and good friends of the show. So come check them out. Again, all these shows and more can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and get involved with everything happening at Naked Vine. I'll be back out there on September 11th with my singer-songwriter storytelling show with Emily Wallace, Kevin Babb, and Joshua Aker, Brotherly and the Leather Jackal. So don't miss that show, September 11th. All right, everybody, enjoy the show. Thank you.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Dave Anderson of Tritone Guitars, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at Tritone Guitars with, hey. With Dave Anderson.
How's it going, Shane?
Good, man. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is cool, man. I'm glad to be here at the shop this time, man. We recorded previously at Gaslight.
Right.
And right, so actually we were talking, it was almost exactly a year ago, which is cool because like, We're going to talk a little bit about Lou Fest coming up, but that particular time we were recording they were rehearsing for Lou Fest, and there was Chuck Berry tunes being played the whole time in the background.
That's right.
From Big Mike Aguirre and all the people involved in that project, but hearing Big Mike singing "Riding Along the Mountain," and so I was just wondering, you know, it would be kind of funny in tradition that if somebody broke out and started playing a full band version of some Chuck Berry in your shop here.
Basement.
Yeah, right.
Call my daughter and see if she can come down the line.
Right.
They both play music.
Yeah, but that was a great hang that day, and like it was just like I said, it was fun just to be a part of that. Like all that was going on in the background. It was a crazy day at Gaslight.
Every day is a crazy day at Gaslight.
Right. But like I said, you gearing up for Lou Fest. You'll be appearing over there this year as an artist, playing with the Bernie Sisters, and you've been working with them quite a bit recently. And so we're going to talk about that, and we've got a lot of other things happening. But we kind of got into some of the stuff of what you do with here, but. Tell me a little more about Tritone Guitars here, since we are recording here at your shop in the basement.
Sure. So, Tritone Guitars is basically guitar repair, lessons, studio work, primarily guitar repair. So I started that in 2012, and I used to work at Fazio's for some friends out in West County, and I ran their repair department for about 8 years, and then decided to just go out on my own. And it's been pretty good. I've been able to keep it as a day job, you know, and do lessons here and there. And then recently, over the past year, I decided to set up a recording, just a humble recording studio, home studio, so I can do overdubs, for people, because primarily I've always been hired to do pedal steel, banjo, mandolin, different things, and guitar. And I just thought, well, if I can do it at home, that would be easier on everybody, including me, you know, but especially me. And with technology nowadays, it doesn't, you know, I don't need a lot. I can work in the box primarily. So I can work at night. I can work, you know, work quietly. So it's been working out really great.
Nice. Yeah. That, I do find, I've seen some, other studios, like, and how, like, I have a friend, he set up, and he has, like, every guitar effect pedal, like, on his computer or something. So, like, yeah. I guess he can basically, like, plug in and, like, set whatever effect he needs. And, right. And, like, I was, like, it's just crazy to, like, that, you know, really, you don't, you know, you, obviously, for the live stuff, you'll need all that. But it's, like, that digitally, you can do all this stuff and just plug in and play and do it pretty easily and quietly and stuff and just.
Yeah. Totally. I have all that. I mean, right. In terms of being able to, you know, sort of endless effects and, yeah. And amplifiers and bass amps. I was doing the bass tracks this morning and, you know, I can pull up the Ampeg flip top and what mic I want to use, and it's all virtual.
Yeah.
But it sounds good, you know. I haven't had any complaints.
All right. Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, again, the Tritone Guitars, is it .com? Tritone Guitars?
It's right? tritone-guitars.com.
Okay. And we got the Facebook page and everything too. So get involved if you want to, if you need some guitar repair or if you want to sign up for some lessons or whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't teach too much. I mean, it's more of a, we'll do a lesson and then see if that helps you or that kind of thing. I don't do like weekly lessons with people usually.
Sure.
But, With the studio stuff, that's really taken up a lot of time. So it's mainly that and the repair work.
Yeah, and that's like, it's the studio, I guess, is pretty new for you, right? You kind of, that's a...
Yeah, I mean, I've always done studio work. But like I said, it's... I was a little intimidated to go into it. And, but I kind of thought, well, you know, I've got ears. I mean, I can hear what comes out of the speaker. So, you know, I got that going for me. And, you know, the more I kind of researched and talked to people, I kind of found out real quick, everybody does it a different way. Everybody has a different sort of aspect of workflow. And I think especially good engineers and good producers, they really have an attitude of they're always learning. They're always trying, you know, to figure out a better way, or try to come up with, I don't know what the right word would be, but, you know, just a better product in the end. And they're real open to, you know, anything goes, I guess, you know. So most people are pretty supportive of it. I mean, you know, it kind of comes back to your ears. I mean, you know, what counts is what's coming out of those speakers. So
yeah.
If that works for you, then that's working for you.
Right. I've thought about, like, I have zero knowledge in being a musician or in a studio or anything, but, like, I saw a lot of times, like, people will send me, like, demos and different, you know, I'm close with a lot of these bands, and they'll send me, hey, what do you think of this? And, like, just give me a sneak peek of what they've been working on and stuff, and, like, and I'll hear it, and I'm like, but I, you know, and just being a fan of music, I'm like, I feel like I could, you know, this could be, you could do this here or whatever. And like, right. I get those like kind of ideas and I'm like, and I, you know, I don't know that they're good or bad or whatever, but I feel like it happens for me when I listen to some of those songs, like it, how I would change things maybe a little bit. And that kind of makes me think maybe it could be kind of fun to learn, you know, actually kind of apply that, like try to learn a little more about it and maybe see what I could do in a studio or,
you know,
or something. So.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, nowadays if you have a simple interface and a DAW, you know, a DAW to record with, you're kind of on your way. Most stuff comes with plugins, a general set of plugins anyway, and there's plenty of stuff out there. There's plenty of information on the internet.
Right.
And so I think probably the big difference is for somebody like me, it probably takes me a lot more time than, you know, say... Zach Gibbons over at Gaslight, who's, if he's engineering something, he's going to be much quicker at it just like if I'm setting up a guitar, I'm much quicker at it than maybe he is. But the end result hopefully will be the same. You know, my ears will lead me through the way. Mm-hmm. And each time it gets quicker and quicker for me. You know, now I've sort of got a template of what I like, and you know, I know what compressors I like. I know how I want to EQ stuff kind of in general in the beginning. And it depends on the music you're doing too, you know.
Yeah.
So I try to approach everything as a unique situation. You know, what are we going for? What's the focal point of the song? That sort of thing.
Right. And you you said you've been working in like composing and arranging and all that stuff as far as the producing side?
Yeah. I mean, I play a lot of different instruments. And so what started to happen was I did a short film for Person Out in Portland, actually. And that was mostly arranging and composing. And I'd just gotten an artist deal with Arturia Synthesizers. So I had their V collection, which is like 21 synthesizers on the computer. So I had a lot of tools to work with to just create sound. And that was fun. I liked it. And then somebody came over to the shop and we were talking, and they had a song that it just wasn't going to make their record. They just didn't know what to do with it. They sent it to a few people, and it just wasn't hitting the mark. And he asked if I would try it, and I said yeah. So I listened to it, and I put some pedal steel on it, put some organs on it, and mixed it, and they liked it, you know. So that kind of reaffirmed stuff, and then it just kind of grew out of that, where I kind of thought, well, you know, if somebody wants me to record, and typically it's pedal steel, that's usually what it seems to be, what people really ask for. You know,
in my opinion, you throw a little pedal steel on it, makes everything better. So
it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's great just as a pad. I kind of approach it like a keyboard or like an organ, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a layer, and it really is, you know, it's that sound where the minute you hear it, you're like, oh,
yeah,
I like that. But, you know, if I went to the studio and I was hired to do an hour and do some pedal steel, we'll run probably three tracks of pedal steel. Maybe we'll do pad and fills and a solo, and that'll be it. We'll move out. And I'll probably sit and think about it and go, oh, I would have maybe done something different, or, you know, I wish I would have spent more time with this or that. So doing it here, I have the ability to spend hours on it if I want, you know, if the client has that much time. And maybe I'll put an organ on it. Maybe I'll put a banjo track on it. Maybe I'll put guitar on it. And then, so I usually tell people, you know, I know you're hiring me for pedal steel. I may give you six more tracks of different stuff and mix it as a reference. And if you like it, great, keep it. And if you don't like it, delete it, you know. So it's sort of a nice luxury to have. And it's just more, I enjoy doing it. So it's not a problem for me.
Right. Is there, I guess most of this is happening here, you said, like, you've been working with Bernie Sisters, like we said, in that recording at Gaslight. Have you been worked over there in their studio, or is it?
I've worked over with Bernie Sisters. We've been doing most of pre-production work and the basic tracks in the studio. Mm-hmm. And the way with them, what I had done is all the musicians that had been playing on it kind of got rough mixes of what we had recorded so far, with the intention of maybe the drums were going to be kept, the bass maybe a rhythm guitar, but for us to kind of think of parts and stuff. So I took one song in particular, a new song of theirs called Tired, and it just spoke to me. I wanted to work on it. Yeah. And I put some guitar on it, or not guitar, put some pedal steel on it, put some organs on it, and I really mixed it just as a reference, sort of, so that when we went back in the studio, you know, I had, you know, this is a concept I have, what do you guys think? And they really liked it, just for me emailing it to them, and kind of wanted to use that version, and, you know, Zach kind of took it from there and you know, mixed it a little more, and I think we maybe put some other stuff. I put a glockenspiel solo in it, and just, you know, different things that I just was hearing, and it worked out. So we did some of it. I did some of it here. We did some of it there, and then. So tired. You know, some of the other songs were more just mostly there, where I just worked on ideas here. It's just kind of different for each song.
Sure. How'd that come to be? You
the Burney Sisters?
Yeah, you playing with Burney Sisters and stuff. That.
So last year, JB and I have been friends for a while, and I was over there, and he brought me in the control room, and he said, "I want you to hear something," and he played. I think he played maybe a YouTube video of them or something. And I was like, wow, yeah. Like, what's going on here? And then he told me how old they were. And I thought, wow, what is going on here?
Yeah. You know?
And then he said, we're probably going to work with them a little bit. And he mentioned that he asked me if I had any interest in playing on it, if they do some recordings with them. And I said, yeah, sure, absolutely. And then fast forward to probably February, March, where it was sort of solidified that they were going to do more recording there and kind of work exclusively with Gaslight. He kind of brought me on board originally just as a musician to play pedal steel and a few things. And that kind of grew into more responsibility as time went on, especially with me taking on stuff on my own initiative and doing some things here at Holland Forum.
Right.
And now we're rehearsing them for Lou Fest, and I'm kind of helping out, I mean, it's a group effort. Everybody
sure.
kind of works, together on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I guess probably close to a year ago now that we hung out and did a podcast up in Columbia with the Burney Sisters, and it's so much fun getting to meet them, but I even before that I was taking notice of what they were doing and just to become a big fan, and they are very, very talented young ladies and great writers. That's the one thing, like you said, that kind of song spoke to you, and like that's the thing that kind of like immediately grabbed my attention was the writing. Lyrics stand out to me. I mean, I love music, all the players, but like I connect a lot to lyrics, and that's why I love songwriters and stuff. And so for me, when I read, I started listening to those songs and those lyrics, and like I'm like, man, this is there's some pretty serious writing here for 12, 13 year old.
Right, 13 and 10 they are.
Yeah,
and Olivia, who's the older one, writes. She's probably the primary writer, I think,
yeah.
of the two, and especially with lyrics. She's got a very mature sense of what she's doing, and she's real open to learn to. And we just did some rehearsals over the past few days for Lou Fest, so we got a chance to kind of hang and talk a little bit about bands and what she's listening to and what I've been listening to, and she's really. She's got a vast knowledge already of music, and she's
right.
real hungry to listen to more and more.
Oh yeah,
Emma, the younger one, is sort of strikes me as the music, sort of the instrumental musician mm-hmm. in terms of she plays all these instruments, and she really plays them, more like a seasoned musician as opposed to a 10-year-old
right.
kid. It's real. You when you're performing with them, whether you're recording or rehearsing, you forget real quick how old they are. I mean, you don't even think about it because you can speak to them like you can another musician, and they totally understand what you're saying. Or they'll speak to you like that and say, no, let's not do this here. Let's try that. So it's a good collaboration. And then after the fact, you go, oh my God, yeah, that's right. They're 10 and 13.
yeah.
See, it's kind of thrown out the window. You don't really think about it
exactly.
that much.
Yeah, it's still very impressive. Like, I just didn't try to think, like, I was nothing I did at 10 and 13 was, like, would have amounted to anything like that. It's like, it's just all I did was play basketball and stuff. it's like, I played sports and that was about it. But, like, I had fun with that. But that, as far as what they're doing and creating, it's like, this stuff's going to live on forever,
Right. And they're really, they're always looking, I get the impression that they're always looking towards the future. Like mm-hmm. they're, how can we do this better? How can I write a better song? How can, they're not sort of basking in what's happening around them right now. They're focused and they work hard.
Oh, yeah.
Put them in, they'll go into the studio and they'll work until you say we have to stop because I'm tired. Yeah. You know, they're gung ho.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, they are playing Lou Fest this year. If you haven't got tickets, you can catch Dave over there with the Bernie Sisters, and Gavin McNutt is also
playing. Yeah, we put together a band for them. Zach Gibbons on drums, Gavin's playing some acoustic guitar, Jacob Baxter's going to be playing guitar, I'm playing guitar and some pedal steel, and then Chris Bachman is playing bass.
Very nice. Yeah,
I like put together sort of a superstar band.
Yeah, I love all those guys. They're all great players. Yeah. I love watching Jacob play guitar too.
Jacob's great. I used him on one of the lab sessions we did last fall. I think in November, he came in and played Telecaster. We did a Tele night. It was just all Telecaster. Yeah. It was Ian Luber and Andy Navarro and I and Jacob and. He was great, you know. He's like a young Keith Richards almost, yeah. You know, mixed with Don Helms, but Don Rich from Buck Owens. So yeah. he's a real tasty player.
Sure.
And I met him. I played with Ellis Express one night at the Monocle for their when they were doing that residency, and my friend Gabe Dwaren plays in that, and he was like, oh, you know, you got to meet this guy. He's a new guitar player in town, and it was Jacob. So we kind of became quick friends. And now he's playing pedal steel, too. He came over. Oh, he's nice. Like, I bought a pedal steel, and he's already playing it out and everything. I'm like, you're going to take all my work, man.
All right.
So, but no, he's a good dude. Yeah. I like Jacob.
So tickets for Lou Fest available. And so that's us. They're playing, Bernie Sisters play Saturday, but you're also playing Sunday. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Sorry, I just took a drink. I'm playing Sunday with Grace Basement.
Yeah. So you get the full weekend over there, man. It's gonna.
Everybody will be very tired by the end. Yeah.
Is this your first Lou Fest?
This is my third.
Third, okay.
So I played the first year with Magnolia Summer, and then I played the second year with Old Lights. And then I was there a few years past that, and in more of a support capacity for guitar tech. I did some work for Ume from Austin, Texas, and for Yola Tango. And so I've kind of been there, you know, in and out behind the scenes or on stage for a lot of them.
Sure.
You know? But this will be my third year performing.
Anybody in particular you're excited to see this year?
Well, Robert Plant, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I did see Robert Plant. I've never seen him play live, but I did see him sound check live a few years ago at the Fox. I was this is back when I was working at Fazio's. His tour manager called out there, and they were looking for a certain pedal, or I think it was even just an adapter for a pedal for one of the guitar players. And we did have it, and they were going to try to send a runner out there, and it was like rush hour, and I'm like, you don't understand, we're far out, and if you try to send somebody out at rush hour, you're never going to see them again.
Yeah.
So, not until probably the show starts. So yeah. I said, I live close to there, I'll just come home early, and I'll drop it off. So I met up with them and went back, and they were getting me the money for the store for the item, and I just happened to look out on stage, and there's Robert Plant, and he's sound checking, and I thought, oh, that's Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
There's Buddy Miller right there. You know, I mean, it was just like, wow, that's him. And Modest Mouse is also headlining. I've seen them before. I'm pretty excited. Gary Clark Jr.
Yeah, he's fun. I like what?
You know, there's a handful of people I'm pretty excited. I'm actually pretty excited to see a lot of the local bands.
Oh, yeah.
Like Scrub.
Yeah.
And Dracula. Those are two that have been on my radar for a while, probably because of JB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard the Dracula album before they'd laid the vocals on it, just the instrumentation. And JB had played it for me, and I immediately had texted Jake Jones, and I was just like, what is this? This is insane. It's awesome. And then the same way with Scrub. He was like, you got to check this guy out, and he played some for me, and I was like, oh, my God. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like he's... I mean, this whole city's full of hustlers. Everybody's working very hard, but Scrub's like... He's everywhere, and, like, I mean, like, between... those videos he keeps putting up and everything else. Like, he's doing very well, and he's...
He's going to blow the doors off on this show. I talked to him, I guess, a month ago or something, and he was telling me about what he's got planned for this, and he's pulling out all the stops. Yeah. You definitely want to check what he's going to do out.
Well, and just before Lou Fest, we're throwing a little party at Ready Room, and that's a little Lou Fest preview, and you're also going to be playing there that night, August 29th at the Ready Room.
With Grace Basement.
Grace Basement, Scrub, and Dracula, like we mentioned. So everybody, you can get a little sneak peek at some of these players that are going to be up at Lou Fest, and then
come River on. Kittens, too. They're going to be playing Lou Fest on Sunday, I believe, too. I've played with them in the past before.
Yeah.
And work on their instruments. Maddie and Allie and those guys. They're great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... They're fantastic too. That's the thing. I love what that Lufest is incorporating so much of our great local, and then more and more every year.
Yeah, this is really a lot this year. Mm-hmm. I think it's the first year they've had so many local acts on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be.
We've got a whole jazz stage this year.
Good thing for them. Yeah, I saw that.
With Kevin Bowers over there, and I think Moe, and just a whole Casimu, and like just. A whole long list of all these great. Right. I think the Kransbergs. I think they're sponsored. They sponsor the whole stage. So we got a whole night of a whole stage full of jazz all night long. So
it should be cool.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that I think that Kevin Bowers Nova set. He and a bunch of I mentioned Big Mike Aguirre doing the Chuck Berry tribute last year. This year he's part of a. Nova with Kevin and a bunch of other great players from around town. So that's a cool thing. It's just gonna be a bunch of my buddies all hanging out there at Lou Fest. So it's gonna
it's gonna be
cool. But let's talk about Grace Basement. This is something I guess we kind of you mentioned you'd be playing there with them. Is it how'd that come to be? How do you start working with Kevin and all them?
Kevin used to have a studio. Down off in Cherokee, I don't know which street, but it's where the bomb door is, you know, if you know what I mean, close to Foam. And so I was in a project, I don't know what year this was, but I was in a project with my wife and I both in the Mayday Orchestra, and we recorded there, and that's when I first met Kevin. I knew who he was when Melissa and I first moved to St. Louis, I think one of the first shows we just kind of went out and saw happened to be Grace Basement CD release for Gunmetal Grey. And I was just like, wow, this band is great, you know. And then we did the Mayday Orchestra album a few years later. And so we were spending more time together. And then he kind of got a feel for, you know, what I do on instruments and... He eventually just asked, you know, if I wanted to play with him. He was kind of changing up the lineup of the band at the time, and I said, yeah, sure. So we did, you know, I worked on the recordings with them, and started playing with them for quite a bit. And then I stopped playing with them a year or two ago. Kevin likes to kind of change things up over time, you know, and add, I guess... add new colors, new layers to what he's doing, and I totally get that. So I would do some of the recording with him, but I wasn't playing with him as much. I was looking to play out less too. At that time when I was playing with them, I was playing with a bunch of bands. We also played together in Magnolia Summer right around that time too. So it just seemed like we kept coming in, you know, meeting each other, kept running into each other in different formats. So he was over with a banjo and we got to talking recently and I saw that he was doing the Lou Fest thing and I asked him about it and said I was going to do it and then we both kind of mutually were like, oh, well, let's just, you want to play great, you know, with Grace Basement too? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So.
Very cool.
That's how we came about.
Yeah.
The little reunion show.
Nice. So yeah, and you're, like I said, you're playing the 29th with him and then.
Right. They're doing a show on the 17th. I don't know if this will air after that or not, but we're doing at Foam, which is this Friday. But and then yeah, the 29th is the pre-party, I guess you'd say. Yeah. So, and then yeah, and then the show on Sunday.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's that's gonna be a wild weekend for sure. So
it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, snag some Lufest tickets, come out and see Dave and everybody out there.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I'm excited for that. Like, this has been one of my favorite weekends festival. Like, I'm not big into the festival scene, so like I don't really go to travel for a lot of them. But like, I think Lufest has a really good thing going on up there, and it's just the last couple of years been just perfect weather and stuff. Just been having a great time. Right. So I'm really glad to see the continued success of the festival and stuff, and has become a big part of everything here in St. Louis. So
yeah, it's been real fun. The family went last year and hung out, and we had a blast.
Yeah.
And my daughter's old enough now where she's like on her own and enjoying it, you know.
Yeah.
She's got her people she wants to see, and my wife and I have people that we want to see. And so it's just fun. It's great.
I guess getting back into your recording and different things that you are part of, you just want to do a lot more of that and continue to...
I'm enjoying it, yeah. You know, and besides being another stream of income, I just, you know, I do like it a lot, and it's you know, when you play out live, you have control over a certain amount of what's going on, and then there's a lot you don't have control of, but with recording, you have control over a lot more, mm-hmm. you know, and so you can really kind of hone things, and you can do things, you know, that you can't do live. You know, I can layer 3 pedal steel parts and all kinds of stuff that I wouldn't be able to do live.
Do you ever think you might open like start a tritone studio or something? Or?
No, I don't think so. I don't know if opening a studio. I don't. You know, there's some great studios in this town, no doubt about it, and I think, you know, a lot of what you're getting is a room. You know, you're getting a very cool room, you know, like Shock City has a great live room, you know, Beeman's place, Native Sound has a great live room and a great vibe. And they have some that, you know, now Beeman's got some really, he's got a killer board and he's got, you know, he's got nice outboard gear and equipment, you know, Jason over at Sawhorse has got a great room, couple great rooms and great equipment, and Smith Lee. I mean, there's all these studios, they have stuff. So I don't see myself doing something like that. And I also feel like nowadays, you know, it's not uncommon for, if you're going to do an album, you know, you don't necessarily do the whole thing in one spot. I mean, you know, maybe you'll do drums in one place and you'll call on somebody else who gets great guitar sounds. And I like that. I like, you know, sort of people that are specialized in what they do. And I think this town has a lot of specialists. So hopefully I'll sort of hone myself to being a specialist, you know, where mm-hmm. if people want guitars and pedal steels and stuff like that, then I would be a person to go to. But if I needed to go to the studio to work, I would just, I have a good relationship with Gaslight. I have a good relationship with a lot of studios. So, but I mean, I'd probably go and just work. If I need to work in the studio, I'll just go there and work. But otherwise, what I need to do on my own, I can do right here. Mm-hmm. There's no need to open up a studio for
sure
or anything like that.
There's so many, you know, those are obviously some of the bigger ones, but like I have some friends that have great home studios that have been producing
absolutely
excellent quality stuff just right there in their you know, just like this right in your basement. And so
you can do a lot with a laptop and an interface and a microphone, you know, I mean, you can really, I mean, that, I do a lot with a laptop and interface mm-hmm. and a microphone, I mean, really.
I just spoke with Monk from Monk and the People, and he said all that was recorded, that their new EP was all recorded in his apartment, and I was like, that's crazy to think about that, you know, like, and it sounds huge, like, there's so much going on, and they're, like, especially with that band, I mean, they got, you know, having keys and sax and backup singers and all that, but it was all, I guess, it was really impressive to think that it was all done, you know, by them in the living room there and stuff. So
I mean, you literally have like millions of dollars worth of possibilities in your laptop now that, you know, even 10-15 years ago wasn't quite the case. I mean, you know, plugins have just come such a long way that you can, I mean, having outboard gear really, I mean, is not a necessity for sure, you know. And sometimes can it's cool to have, you know, a nice board and, you know, a console and, you know, racks of gear. But just the recall factor of trying to, you know, if you do a mix and you send it to the artist and they send it back and they want to change stuff and then you have to recall, you know, that's a big process with a lot of outboard gear. In the box, on the laptop, it's instantaneous. Mm-hmm. You know, the possibilities are endless. And you really don't need a studio. I don't think studios will go away ever. I mean, I think there is something about going to the studio and having that, not to use this term because it's overused, but to have that vibe, to have, you know, to capture sort of, you know, the feel of, you know,
it's all personal
an engineer
preference,
there and the microphones. And that's one thing too, is, I mean, you know, having a studio with great mics is so advantageous, you know, because a lot of the physical gear has gotten so expensive. You know, microphones have shot through the roof, and everybody knows what anything that says Neve is, thanks to Dave Grohl. And, you know, I mean, so it's on that side of things, it's almost unattainable to get, you know, really high quality microphones and outboard gear because it's just so expensive, unless you have the money to do it. But the plus side is you have it virtually all in the box, so you can manipulate sound and really make it what you want, you know, which is awesome. It just makes it so you can create much easier on the fly. You know, I can take this, my goal is to keep everything that I can pack it up into a backpack basically and take it wherever I want.
Sure.
So
that's what I do, man.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not the monitors, but honestly, I don't use these monitors hardly at all. I'm not in a treated room. I've got a nice HVAC system 10 feet away from me. So, you know, but I don't need to be, you know. I mean, I can kind of do, I'm not mixing albums or anything like that yet. But, you know, I can do what I need to do primarily in the box. If I need a mic and amp, I can mic and amp easily enough, you know. Got the magnetone here, and sometimes I do that. Sometimes I just run direct into the box, a lot of times I just run direct, and it works fine. And then I can work late at night if it's 1 or 2 in the morning and everybody's sleeping here in the house and I want to work on stuff, I can.
Right.
I'm not bothering, but...
Yeah. Do you have, like, have you been, like... studying with somebody, or is it a lot of it you're learning just through trial and error, like, or is it, or how's you can pretty much learn about anything on YouTube today too, though, like, but is there anything you can...
There's a lot of stuff on YouTube, a lot of great tips, and my approach to... I apologize. It sounds like somebody's running a marathon upstairs. There's a party going on upstairs in my house. I look for the consistencies of what I see, you know. So if I watch a handful of videos and everybody's sort of talking about, you know, how to EQ something in general, you know, and they're basically in the same realm of what, you know, consistency of what they're saying, then I'll make a mental note and go, okay, you know, jot that down, think about that. Some of it's trial and error, but I don't spend too much time with it, you know. Like, I mean, mic placement, because I do, sometimes I have to do acoustic instruments and so forth, you know, put that mic where I want it, or get, you know, and where it sounds good and move forward. I don't, you know, I don't have a mentor, so to speak. I didn't go to school for any of it, and I don't know what I'm doing, you know. I really, probably a lot of people don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But you find the consistencies, you find what's worked, trust your ears. I try not to get fatigued. That's a great thing about working down here for me, is that I can work, and then, you know, 20 to 30 minutes, if I want to stop, I can go over and work on guitars and work on that, and then come back to it and just move back and forth. And I'm, you know, 10, 15 feet away from the bench and the laptop. There are some people in town here that I would like to shadow a little bit, and I will do that more and more. You know, I mean, like, Carl Knapp is in town. That's Nelly's producer. That guy, I mean, he's insane.
Yeah.
It's insanely good. So there's a guy that I probably will say, hey, can I, you know, sit in and just sit and be a fly on the wall while you mix something sometime? You know, just watching like Zach Gibbons' work, I've you know, he's real quick. And Jacob Dettering when I've done stuff over there, although I haven't been over there recently. But, you know, those guys are so fast. And, you know, that I've watched Jacob record somebody, and while they're recording, he's, you know, he's doing edits and he's doing stuff on the on the computer.
Right.
And, you know, just moving so quickly. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's the goal. Yeah. Just really move quickly, because the quicker you move, you know, the less fatigue you have, and the more, you know, more you can do it. I don't know. I don't know if I answered your question.
That stuff, like you're saying, Nelly's producer and all, like that kind of stuff would interest me too. Like the fact that, like, I mean, obviously you have your sound, your particular taste, but like to learn from others too, to see how you can maybe change the way you go about things and stuff like that. You know, it's just being a student of it all, just to learn. I mean, it can't hurt to learn at all. So,
well, and every project is a little bit different. Although I feel like because of what I play, I sort of get the same type of projects thrown at me.
Sure.
A lot of Americana, a lot of, you know, more band singer-songwriter, you know. I don't work on, I haven't never done a hip-hop album per se, or worked on anything like that. But, you know, but still, you know, to go and to watch Carl, you know, EQ a vocal track would be priceless.
Right. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, and, so there are a lot of people in town that I'd like to see. I've spent a little time earlier in the summer just going to studios, checking out how people, you know, what the rooms are like, what kind of equipment they're using, how their workflow is, talking to the engineers. And everybody's real accommodating. They're really, you know, they're really willing to share, you know, like, well, this is how I do it, you know. And I notice, and I like this, that most people are like have sort of the attitude of this is how I do it, as opposed to this is how you do it. You should do it. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, well, you know, for me, this is how I get a result, and I think that's great. And it just shows that, you know, everybody kind of works differently and can achieve, you know, what they're trying to hear, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I try to do the same. Like, I mean, obviously it's way different, but doing this show, like, I get a lot of people like, hey, you know, hey, I want to do a podcast, I want to, you know, how do I go about, like, and I just, like, I'm like, there's, you know, same thing in the recording studio, there's literally 100 different ways to go about doing this, you know, a lot, right. whatever mic you want to get or whatever it is, and you can, but, like, I try to show people, like, give them a little couple tips, like, hey, here's what I do, you know, it's been working for me, hey, you're welcome to, you know, go about it any other way you want to go about doing it, but, you know, hey, this is how I go about doing it, so.
Yeah, I think if you have, you know, sort of an end result in mind, that makes it a lot easier. If you just go in going, I want to do a podcast, yeah, and leave it at that, well, you need to think about, you know, what you're doing.
Sure.
I mean, it'd be like going and saying, I want to take guitar lessons, and say, okay, what do you want to learn? I just want to learn how to play the guitar.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's pretty wide spectrum, so
sure,
maybe think about some short-term goals and long-term goals and figure out a path to get from point A to point B, so to speak, and then you're going to do a lot more in a quicker amount of time. You know, I got lucky because I have a good relationship with Gaslight, and they're close. I've done some demo work there. I've done, you know, regular recordings up there. I've done performances there. JB's really, you know, really willing and wants to promote local artists, local music. He's always trying to do more and more and more. He's not just a guy sitting there owning a piece of property. I mean, he's really involved in the scene. And he takes chances, and he's willing to help people when they're trying to accomplish something, and especially if he sees that vision too. And he's been really supportive of what I'm doing, not just with the Bernie sisters, but you know, like with Gavin and other artists. I mean, I think he's been a strong believer in what I'm doing, and that's probably a catalyst to help me move forward and keep doing it.
Yeah, man. What was the name of that Bernie Sisters tune you worked on?
The main one was called Tired.
Tired.
Which is, I think they're releasing three songs off the bat soon, by the time Lufest comes out, and that'll be one of the three.
All right, yeah, so keep an eye out for that one, and one, all of them, but it'd be fun to hear.
They have an arsenal of songs, yeah. And they're writing more and more, even with rehearsals. Olivia had a new song that they haven't recorded yet that I hadn't heard before, and it was much different. It was a little more edgy, a little more rock.
Okay.
You know, we kind of got to crank up the guitars and so, you know, they're really evolving. They're really kind of continually just moving forward and trying new stuff and succeeding at it.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Well, I'm excited to hear some new music and excited to see them live, like I said, at Lufest coming up. And they also play, are you going to Roots and Blues with them?
I am.
Yeah,
I will be there.
They're,
for that as
they're
well.
Playing in Columbia, Missouri, for the Roots and Blues and Barbecue Fest up there, which is another incredible lineup of bands.
I think we're playing right before the Avett Brothers on the main stage.
Oh yeah.
So
that's
that'd be cool.
That's like a dream come true for them. Like they're huge fans of those guys.
They definitely are. Yeah,
that'd be pretty wild.
You can hear it in their music a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. So keep an eye out for everything. Follow Tritone on Facebook and again.
Facebook, Instagram, tritone-guitars.com.
Yeah.
I don't know where else.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, buddy. This has been a lot of fun catching up and
thank you.
Getting to hang out, man.
Yeah. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks again for having me over here at the shop, man. This is cool. Getting to see all this stuff. I'm just. I don't know. Again, I don't know any of this stuff. I'm a fan, but like, I just, any of this stuff's cool to me, all the gear and all that stuff, so it's just cool to be around it all and seeing these guitars and things. And
always a plethora of guitars laying around here, which is good for doing the studio stuff, because if I need something, chances are it's somewhere over here, whether it belongs to me or not. You know. There has been a time or two where I've messaged somebody and said, hey, your instrument's done. By the way, would you mind if I used it on a track real quick?
By the way, it sounds great, honestly. You know. It's
like, but I try not to take it for granted, you know.
Sure.
If I was just in an apartment, you know, like you say, like Monk, and it would be hard if I was like, oh, I need this or I need that or whatever, and I really can cover a lot of bases here.
Definitely. So. Yeah, man. All right, Dave. Well, thank you, buddy.
All right, man. Thank
you. I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.